Section 3, The Role of Individuals in a Global Economy. Nations and states must watch their income and spending to achieve economic security. So too must individuals. Individuals who do not know how to handle money may never have financial security. Just think what would happen to our country or state if all West Virginians managed their money poorly. People could not pay their bills, which would cause businesses to close, resulting in a loss of jobs. Fewer jobs would mean less income. People could not buy things, which would result in even more businesses closing and more unemployment. This may sound like something that could never happen. But this is exactly what did happen in the early 2000s, when the United States experienced its worst economic downturn since the Great Depression. During the early days of the 21st century, people overextended their credit to buy things they wanted but probably did not need. Credit is the ability to buy things now and pay for them over time. Eventually, those people could not pay off their credit cards in full at the end of the month. This resulted in interest, money paid for the use of money, usually at a high rate, being added to the amount owed. Eventually, the inability of many thousands of creditors to pay their debts put lending institutions at risk. If lending institutions, banks, retail stores, and credit card companies do not receive payment, they cannot continue to do business. Understanding the four major areas of personal finance, budgeting, saving, investing, and credit, will help you keep from getting into a credit crisis. Having an understanding of these areas will also help you make better financial decisions to benefit yourself. It will also help you understand decisions made by your state and nation and make you a better citizen. Budgeting. Everyone needs a plan in order to manage finances wisely. One easy way to ensure that you will handle money effectively is to develop and follow a personal budget, a plan for receiving and spending money for a specific period of time. A budget reduces the stress of managing money by allowing some funds for short-term activities, other funds for essentials, and still other funds for long-term goals. Those who have a workable budget find it easier to set and reach financial goals, such as buying a car, saving for a college education, or setting money aside for a special vacation. The biggest advantage of planning and following a personal budget is that it allows you to avoid the problems caused by too much debt and a poor credit rating. If you plan carefully, you will have money when you need it for those things that arise with no warning. Planning a budget. When developing a budget, you should plan for a whole year by following several specific steps. First, make a list of all your income, money earned for working, providing services, selling goods or property, or from investments, which may come from several different sources. As a young person, your income may come from your family. It might include an allowance, money given to you for school or personal expenses, and financial gifts for special occasions. Other income may come from outside the family. That might include monies you earn from part-time jobs and interest you receive on a bank account or investment. Make a monthly income list, keeping in mind that you may have extra income in the summer months if you are able to do lawn care or babysit. In other months, when school activities keep you busy, you may have less income. Determine the total of your income for 12 months and then divide by 12 to get a monthly figure. Now that you know about your income for a year, make a list of expenses, what you spend on your own needs and wants. To do this, make a list of your monthly expenses. Some expenses, such as school-related expenses, food, and entertainment, will occur regularly. Other expenses will occur only at certain times of the year, such as Christmas. Keep track of all the money you spend in a given month by selecting a typical week and recording each evening the actual monies you spent during that day. You must include everything, even small purchases such as gum, soda, or nail polish. After you make a list of all your expenses, determine which are fixed expenses, set amounts that must be paid each month, and which are flexible expenses, amounts that are not set and may vary from month to month. An example of a fixed expense is a loan payment that has to be made each month. A flexible expense might be entertainment, where you have $25 to spend one month, but only $10 in another month. Categorize each expense on your list as fixed or flexible. Next, compare your total expenses with your monthly income. Does your monthly income cover your expenses? If so, you're in good financial shape. If your expenses exceed your income, you must look at your expenses and find ways where you can cut back. Even if your income and expenses are in line, you might need to change your budget to plan for unexpected events. To account for the unexpected, try to increase the amount you save. Your savings is a fund you can use when the unexpected occurs. Developing a personal budget will help you understand the process that states and nations go through to create a plan to manage their money. Just like you, government agencies must balance their income and expenses to have financial security. Making adjustments. Every budget plan is just that, a plan. You must be flexible enough to adjust the budget so that it remains workable and realistic. If you find yourself falling short from month to month, it is time to rework the plan by reducing your expenses or increasing your income. Expecting income that does not materialize, underestimating expenses, forgetting special needs, all of these are weaknesses in your plan that must be addressed. Budgets are useless if they are not realistic. A budget allows you to save for short-term and long-term goals, but it will not work if you do not have the patience to wait to buy that new smartphone or latest video game. Only you can decide when to purchase items you want or need. Some people always wait until they have enough cash saved up to make a special purchase. Others simply purchase the item on credit and pay for it over time. Even with careful planning, people can easily forget expenses connected to special events. Holidays, vacations, birthdays, graduations, new friends, new hobbies. It is easy to blow the whole budget when Christmas is coming and you have to buy presents for your friends and family. Every budget should include savings that can be tapped for little or big emergencies, the unforeseen, the unexpected. Those who have saved will have a little extra emergency cash on hand. Those who did not save will be pulling funds from other expenditure areas, which is tricky at best and often a disaster. Savings. The most important element in financial planning might be having a savings plan. As you saw when planning a budget, a savings plan requires that you set aside some monies each month to help you achieve short-term and long-term goals. A typical long-term goal is to save for your first car or to save for your college education. A typical short-term goal is to save so that you will have extra cash to cover the unexpected. It does not matter whether your savings are put aside in a piggy bank or a special bank account. What matters is that you save some money each month. If you do not already have a savings account in a bank, you may want to open one. Most West Virginians deposit their money in banks. People commonly have a checking account, an account against which the depositor can write checks to pay bills on demand. A checking account is sometimes considered a flow-through account. Money flows in from deposits and out when checks demand the money be moved from the account for specific purposes. If you want to keep your money in a bank account for a longer period of time, you may also put your money in a savings account, a holding place for money for the future. Customers may also choose a certificate of deposit, a bank certificate that draws interest and is written for a specific period of time, or a money market account, a special account whose interest fluctuates with the national interest rate. Banks use the money in depositors' accounts to make loans. To reward depositors for allowing them to use their money, banks pay interest on the amount of money in the accounts. Suppose you deposit $100 in a savings account and receive 5% interest on the balance. At the end of the year, if you have not withdrawn any of the money, the bank will pay you $5 in interest, making your balance $105. Some banks also pay depositors interest, usually at a lower rate, on checking accounts. Banks can pay interest to depositors because the banks earn money from those people who take out loans. A borrower must not only repay the amount borrowed, but must also pay interest on the loan. Interest on loans is the main source of money for most banks. When interest rates are low, people are more likely to borrow money and make large purchases. An increase in buying stimulates the economy by increasing the demand on manufacturers, causing the need for more workers. When more people are working, there is also more money available to continue the buying cycle. But when interest rates are low, people may be less interested in saving because they do not earn as much interest. When interest rates are high, people are less likely to borrow money because the amount they have to repay is high. This is the time when more people add to their savings accounts or purchase certificates of deposit rather than buy a lot of consumer goods. Because buying declines, manufacturing declines, and unemployment goes up. The ability of individuals to borrow money and purchase goods affects the overall economy of the state and nation. Investing. In addition to saving for your future, you may reach a financial position where you can use some of your money to invest, buy an asset hoping that it will provide future profit or income. When you invest money, you must understand that there is a possibility you will lose instead of make money. Some investments can be very risky. Risky investments offer the potential for high profit, but the potential for losing your money is also high. Low-risk investments normally offer very small gains or profits. Investment opportunities include stocks and bonds, long-term debt certificates with interest payments. Research shows, however, that some stocks and bonds are very low-risk investments. For example, U.S. Treasury savings bonds or bonds issued by cities. People who invest in the stock market, a location where shares of ownership in a corporation, called stocks, are bought and sold, take a greater risk. Most investors try to protect themselves by investing in a variety of high-risk and low-risk ventures. Investments are not limited to the stock market. Some people invest in property. These investors hope to buy a piece of land at a low price, hold that land for a period of time, and sell it at a higher price to make a profit. Other people buy old houses, restore them, and sell them for a profit. People also invest in gold and silver, in artwork, and in businesses. Some even invest in non-conventional areas like athletes. For example, a group of golf club members might pool their monies and invest in a young golfer just starting on a professional career. The investors finance the golfer's first few years on tour in exchange for a percentage of any monetary winnings. If the young person plays well and wins a few tournaments, he or she could earn millions of dollars. A percentage of those earnings would belong to those who invested in the golfer's future success. If the golfer is not successful, the investors will lose their investment. Using credit. Using credit wisely is sometimes difficult for many people to master. It seems so easy to take out a plastic card when you are short of cash. Many people buy something they want now and pay for it over a period of time instead of saving their money until they have enough to purchase the item with cash. Your access to credit depends upon several factors, including your income, how much you borrow, your payment history, and how much you owe. These factors are used to define a person's credit history. They represent a person's ability to pay future debts based on a record of past debt payments. If you have credit and make payments on time as required, you develop a good credit history. A poor credit history reflects that payments were made late or not at all. Items purchased on credit may even have been repossessed, or legal proceedings may have been brought against those who failed to pay as promised. Having a good credit history is important because it allows you to qualify for future credit, and your interest rate will be lower than that offered to people with poor credit histories. Most people make large or major purchases, such as houses or automobiles, on credit. The company sells the item and works out a payment schedule, which includes interest. The longer it takes you to pay for it, finance it, the more interest you will pay. That is why people often make a sizable down payment, a portion of the selling price, for major items. In that case, the amount to be financed over time is as small as possible. Interest rates vary based on the interest rate the Federal Reserve System charges to loan money to banks. Interest rates also vary from one loan agency to another. That is why it is wise to comparison shop when making large purchases. When shopping for a car, for example, the car dealer may offer a lower interest rate than a bank because the dealer is motivated to sell cars. As you enter into debt to finance purchases, you can use the often recommended 20% rule. This rule states that your total debt, excluding home mortgage payments, should be no more than 20% of your net income, the amount of income you actually take home each year.